Well, I'm going to invite you to take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. And as you turn there, if you're a guest with us today, or it's just your first time, or you haven't been in a while, we started in a series through the book of Jonah. And so today we're in week two, and here's where we'll be, you know, for several weeks. If you have trouble finding Jonah, don't be ashamed to go to your table of contents in the front of your Bible, and it'll give you a page number. You can turn there and join us as we're going to move through the text this morning. Boy, it's cold outside, and I wore a sweater because it was so cold, but I didn't know the student ministry was going to heat me up down there on the front row today. I mean, they had me up, and so I tell you, if you're not careful, you might need to come down and get closer to them if you need a little excitement in your life, okay? And so thankful for you all and the way you're helping to lead our church. Thank you, Karen, for sharing this morning about the sanctity of human life and just how important it is that we as a church support human life. And it's just wonderful that that's where we stand as a church, and we support that. Well, in Jonah chapter 1, we have already seen that God has told Jonah, he's commanded him to go to Nineveh to preach against the wicked city of Nineveh because their sin had risen and had been stacked up to heaven. And he said, it's time for you, Jonah. I'm sending you there. I want you to preach to them the message that I'm going to give you. But Jonah decided he did not want to obey God. And so we saw last week that he went to Joppa and he found a ship going the furthest place away from Nineveh you could get. And that was Tarshish. So he paid his money. He got on the ship with these sailors, and he's going to be making his way. And today what we're going to see is that while Jonah is running from God, God is going to throw a storm into the life of Jonah, and it's going to impact everyone that he is around. And I want you to know this morning that God has something he's doing in every single one of our lives. He has a direction for us. He has a calling for us. He loves us, and he has a great plan for your life. But you have to make the decision if you're going to obey him and walk in his way, or if you're going to run from him. And I've just seen it all through my life and all through my ministry that we come to these places, we come to these forks in the road where we got to make a decision. And oftentimes people will decide to run away from God, to try to get away from him for some reason. They're uncomfortable because of his holiness and the sin that they're living in, and they try to run from God. And what I want you to see today is that running from God is never the answer. And if you're a child of God in here this morning, if you run from God, he's not going to let you get away. And he's going to throw things into your life for the purpose of turning you back to himself. And so let's look, starting in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "But the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea. And such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you now just acknowledging and knowing that above everything else, we need you. God, we need your word. We need your direction. God, we need your presence. We need your touch today. God, we thank you for the music. We thank you for the fellowship. But truly, God, this day really has nothing to do with us. Has nothing to do with me, and has everything to do with Jesus. So God, we just humbly come before you and ask that over the next few minutes, you would open up our eyes and minds and hearts to hear, to see, and to receive your word. and that, God, you would change us today. Lord, those that are running would turn and return to you. God, those that have never turned to you ever in their life would see your love, and for the very first time, they would give their life and surrender to you. Jesus, do what only you can do today, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, my outline today is really simple. The first thing I want you to see is that Jonah ran. We've already saw that a little bit last week, but Jonah is on the run, and he is running from the presence of God. It says in verse 4 that he entered the ship, and in verse 5, he had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel, and he had stretched out, and he had fallen into a deep sleep. He is trying to run from the presence of God. He is miserable in his life. And really, his misery is coming from this place. He's miserable because he is running from God. You understand something? When we run from God, we can also call that sin. That's sin. When we're disobedient to God, that's sin. When we're living outside of what God has called us to live in, that's sin. God has given us his word. He's given us his standard. And if we decide we want to do something different, we want to do it our own way, that's called sin. Jonah is running from God. He is living in sin. He's being disobedient. And here's the thing. As a child of God, as Jonah is, it is making him miserable. So miserable that when God threw this great wind, so Jonah ran, and then what did God do? Well, then God threw something. He threw something. And what he did was he threw a great wind that would cause a great storm on the sea. And so here he is on this vessel making this long journey to Tarshish, he thinks. And God says, all right, Jonah, if you're going to run from me, I'm not going to just let you run. Okay, so God says, I'm going to throw something. And he hurled. Okay, it's like maybe a baseball pitcher taking a baseball, and man, he winds up, and man, he launches that ball. He throws it as hard as he can to the target. Or somebody taking a javelin and taking that thing and hurling it and launching it off some far distance at a target. God says, Jonah, you're going to run, but I'm not going to let you get away. And so because you're running from me, I'm going to throw this wind and cause a great storm upon the sea. And so he's on the ship, the sailors are there, and this great storm arrives. So much so, the scripture tells us that this wooden vessel, it feels like it's about to break apart. It's about to break apart. And there he is. Now, in the middle of all of that, Jonah is in the bottom of this vessel asleep. I don't know if you ever watched Deadliest Catch. I used to enjoy watching that show. You know, these sailors out there trying to harvest these king crabs out on this wicked sea. I mean, and they're out there in the middle of the night. Their boats aren't really that big. And I mean, waves are crashing. It is when you watch them, you're like, man, these guys, they are some tough dudes, and it's crazy. And could you imagine being in the middle of a great storm on sea? I mean, this is a hurricane force storm. And these guys aren't on some big cruise ship vessel. They are in a smaller wooden ship making its way across the sea. And in the middle of all of that, you're down in the bottom of the boat, sound asleep. Do you know why Jonah was sound asleep down in the bottom of the boat? Because he was miserable. Because as he was running from God, he could do nothing but just lie there. And so God, through this storm, as Jonah is running, and it says that the sailors, these sailors were so afraid. Now, these guys were some rough and tough dudes. They lived their life on the sea. But they were afraid because their life was flashing before their eyes. They truly believed this was the end for them all. They were going down. And so what they do, they started to lighten the load. They went and they took the cargo. They found things all over the ship. And they just began to toss everything over the ship to do whatever they could do to save themselves and to prevent themselves from dying that day. So we see that Jonah was running and God has thrown this storm. But the sailors, they begin searching for a solution. They begin searching for an answer. They're trying everything they can do to save themselves. And so as the boat is breaking apart, they're throwing everything over while Jonah is down in the bottom of the vessel in a deep sleep. Then the captain, it says in verse 6, the captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." The captain comes and says, "Jonah, would you please call out to your God?" Now, one of the reasons why the captain did this is because in verse 5, it tells us when this storm broke out and the sailors got so desperate, they began crying out to their gods. Now, who were their gods? Well, their gods were the false gods. They were just crying out and praying to whoever might listen and say, "Please save us, please help us." These were some heathen sailors. But here's the deal. When people find themselves in a real storm in life, all of a sudden, those people that aren't very religious get religious. They do. That's what people do. You remember September 11th? And you remember when our nation was attacked, our homeland was attacked? We never could have imagined something like that would happen. That we wouldn't be protected by our seas and our borders and in this blessed nation that God has given us. But then all of a sudden that changed one day when we were attacked by those terrorists. And you remember what happened that next Sunday? That next Sunday, people all over our nation went to places of worship. They went to churches and they were seeking God, and people were praying in the streets and they were praying in their homes, and they were just like, "Somebody help us, somebody give us an answer. Come on, God, we need something here." Why? Because when tragedy strikes, when a storm comes, all of a sudden everybody gets religious. And that's what's happening with these heathen sailors. They get religious on the sea all of a sudden. They say, "Okay, well, nothing we're doing's working. And so let's call out to the gods. Let's call out to the gods and see if someone can help us, if someone can save us." But the one person on the ship that knew the one true living God wasn't praying. He didn't want to pray. He didn't want anything to do with the one true living God. Instead, he was fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. And this captain says, "There's one guy that's not praying here. I'm going to go get him. He needs to start praying because we're going down." And so the captain goes down and he wakes Jonah up. He says, "Get up, boy, and you better start praying. Why aren't you praying? What's wrong with you? We're in a terrible storm here. We're all about to die. Pray to your God. And maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." Jonah, he's not praying. He doesn't pray. Look what happens in verse 7. It says, "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. Then we'll know who is to blame for this trouble we're in." So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business? Where are you from? What is your country and what people are you from?" You see, the sailors did what only they knew to do. And they said, we're going to draw straws. We're going to cast lots. We're all going to get together, and we're going to see whoever draws the short end of the stick, we're going to know that that's the one that's causing all this problem. It's because of that person that this is going around. And so all the sailors get together, they bring Jonah up, and they get all together, and they draw straws, and sure enough, guess who draws the short end of the stick? Jonah. And you might say, well, boy, wasn't that lucky? Well, it wasn't luck. It wasn't by chance. You see, God can work in and through anything that he desires to work through. And this is all these sailors knew. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you an answer. And I'm going to single out and I'm going to show you exactly why this and who is causing all of this storm to be happening here on this ship. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 33, it says this. It says that we cast the die or the dice, but it's every decision is of the Lord. And here's what that means. Here's what that means. God is in control of everything. He's in control of everything. And so Jonah pulled the short end of the stick. He pulled the short straw. Because while the sailors thought that they could figure it out, God said, you know what? I'm going to use this and I'm going to show them exactly who is running from me. So they find out it's Jonah. And then they just begin to pepper Jonah with questions. Did you see that? They're like, Jonah, Jonah, tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business and where are you from and what is your country and what people are you from? I mean, they just start hammering him with questions. Jonah answers in verse 9, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were seized by a great fear and said to him, what have you done? The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. Jonah says, listen, I am a Hebrew. Now, these guys would have an understanding of who the Hebrews were. They would have a little bit of an understanding of who Jonah's God was because they would have heard the stories and the testimonies of what Yahweh had done. And so he tells them, this is who I am. And I serve and I worship the one true living God. All of these gods you've been praying to, they're not even gods at all. They're not real. But I serve the one true living God. He is the creator and maker of everything. All of heaven, all of earth, the sea, the storm, the wind, the waves, you and me. God has created it all. He's over it all. He sustains it all. He is the one true living God. He is the mighty one, Jonah says. He says, that's who I am. That's who I worship. That's who I serve. And here's the deal. That's who I'm running from. And these guys are smart enough to say, what is wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? Who in their right mind would run from him? Who would run from the God who's over it all? Who would run from the Lord who controls it all, who is sovereign? Who would run from the one who has created it all and he keeps it all in his hand? What's wrong with you, Jonah? Let me just pause for a second. Think about this for a moment. That's the God that we serve. It's the one true living God. If you are running today, this is the God you are running from. So these sailors said, in verse 10 that they were seized by great fear. So they say, that's who you're running from, Jonah? In verse 11, they said to him, what should we do to you so that the sea will calm down for us? For the sea was getting worse and worse. See, here's what Jonah hasn't done yet. Jonah is answering their questions, but Jonah is still refusing to get with God and get right with him. Jonah is acknowledging to the sailors what is going on and why things are going on, but he's refusing in his life to personally acknowledge God and submit and surrender in repentance before him. And so they say, Jonah, what should we do to you so that this sea will calm down for us? The sea was getting worse and worse. The more Jonah ran, the worse the storm got. Look at me for a moment. You understand this in life, that storms are real. We talked about it on Wednesday night this last week, if you're with us. That you will find yourself typically in one of three places in life. Either heading into a storm, or you're currently in a storm, or you're on your way out of a storm. Now, some of those storms, many of those storms, are trials and tests in life. They're what God is allowing you to go through for the purpose of building up and strengthening your faith and your character in Him. And so the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. James says, consider it all joy when you go through various trials, when you go through these testings, because God is using those trials, He's using those testings to strengthen you, to build up your faith and your trust in Him. But I want you to understand something. Not every storm is that storm. And that's not the storm that Jonah is in right here. It's not a storm of a trial or a test. This is a storm of disobedience. This is a storm caused by Jonah, of his disobedience to God, of his running from God. And friend, if you find yourself in one of those storms, you're going to be in a difficult, difficult place. And until you turn back and run to God and stop running from God, the storm is just going to get worse and worse and worse. God's not going to let up on you, because what He is doing is He is trying to get you to come back to Him. He loves you that much. He has a call on your life. He has a purpose on your life. He has called you to do something. And so if you start running from Him, it says the storm, it started, and then it says it got worse, and it kept getting worse and worse. Because until Jonah turns back to the Lord, God's not going to let up. And here's what I would submit to you. If you find yourself today in a storm in your life because of your disobedience, that storm is not just going to vanish and go away. God desires for you to turn to Him. And if you'll turn to Him, if you'll turn to Jesus, then the one who has sent that storm can calm that storm. And so it says in verse 12 that Jonah answered them, and here's what Jonah's response was. Here was his remedy. Rather than turning to the Lord, he said this, pick me up and throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you, for I know that I'm to blame for this great storm that is against you. Here's the deal. The sailors were searching for an answer. Jonah was giving a wrong answer, and it had everything to do with them trying to fix it themselves. That's what the sailors were doing. Let's throw stuff overboard. We can try to fix it ourselves. Let's get Jonah and let's do something and let's fix it this stuff. Jonah says, throw me overboard. That's how messed up Jonah is. That's how far Jonah has run from God. That's how miserable Jonah is in his sin and disobedience, as he says, I'm ready to be done. Just throw me overboard. It's my fault, and the sea will calm down. And so we see that verse 13, we see, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. We see it one more time, and I really want you, if you have not heard anything else, I want you to come in and hear this right here. These men that were far from God, these heathen sailors who did not know God, the one true living, they tried to do everything they could do to save themselves. They even had compassion on Jonah. And I believe part of their compassion they had on Jonah was they were already beginning to have a fear of the Lord God Almighty. See, you're running from God and you're one of God's children. We're not going to throw you overboard. And it says they rowed harder and harder. These guys got on the side of the ship. They put their oars in the water. And it's literally, it means they were digging deep. And they were digging, and they were digging through the water. They put their heads down. They said, we're going to overcome this. We're going to make it out of this. We're going to make it. Let's do everything that they can. They were trying as hard as they could, and they were digging, and they were digging, and they were digging. But what's it say in that verse? It says, but they couldn't. They couldn't. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how hard they wanted to do it on their own, they could not save themselves. And God said, I will throw the storm harder and harder and harder at you. Friend, here's what I'm trying to tell you today. There is nothing you and I can do without God Almighty. Without Jesus, we have no hope. It's not pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get the job done. And friend, if you today do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, listen to me. You cannot save yourself. Coming down front today and saying, I want to be a member of your church, will not save you. Coming down front and saying, I want to be baptized, will not save you. Walking out these doors today and putting money in the offering plate and saying, I want to do what I can do and I'm going to give, will not save you. Volunteering in nonprofit organizations will not save you. Helping people as much as you can will not save you. Now, all those things are good things, but I need you to hear me. You and I can do nothing to save ourselves. God's the only one who can save us. That's it. And so here Jonah is, and here these sailors are, and they're trying everything they can do. Now, let me say one more thing. Because if you and I are not careful, if we're not careful, those of us in this room who have been saved, we'll start thinking that now that we have been saved, that it's about us. Even after you're saved, it's not about what you can do in your strength. It's not about you and me. It's about God. It's about Him. Yielding and submitting ourselves to Him. And so it says here in verse 14, and here's my final point for you today. We're going to see this. We're going to see while Jonah ran, God threw a storm. The sailors were searching for answers and searching to be saved. That we come to the end, and here's what happens. The Lord, and the Lord alone saves. It says in verse 14, it says, so they these sailors, now they called out to the Lord and they said, please, Lord. Before they were talking to false gods. Do you notice how it had God written in with a small g? Not real gods at all. False gods. Now they're turning their attention to the Lord, the one true living God. And they say, Lord, please, don't let us perish of this man because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done just as you have pleased. And they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. They didn't want to throw Jonah over. They were just convinced that's the only option they had. And they said, God, this is what your prophet has said to do. He has told us that the only thing we can do at this moment is throw him overboard. We don't want to do it. We tried to dig out of this thing. You're telling us there's no way we're getting out of it, that we got to throw Jonah over. And they're like, God, we just want you to know we're only doing what we believe you want us to do at this moment. And so they throw Jonah overboard. And what happens? As soon as Jonah hits the water, it says the sea stopped its raging. And then look at verse 16. And then the men were seized by great fear of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. I'm going to tell you what I believe is happening right here at the end of this chapter. I believe we begin to see the spark of a revival. And what we see is, we see these heathen, sinful sailors that throughout this whole scene, they come to the point where they say, you know what? We're going to turn ourselves over to the God of Jonah. We're going to surrender ourselves to the Lord God Almighty. It says that they came, they were seized by grace, they feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice and they made vows to God. You know what I believe that is? I believe that these sailors, they were actually getting saved. Here's what I believe about salvation. I believe God takes you where you're at. And however best you know to call out to Jesus Christ today, my friend, He will receive you and He will save you. Friend, you don't have to know all of the theology that's in this book. You don't have to know today how to pray. You don't have to know today and be able to quote tons of scripture in order to be saved. Listen, if you just know today that God is God alone and that Jesus alone saves, and you come to Him and you say, Jesus, I throw myself before you, change my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but Jesus, I surrender to you and I make my vow to you. I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to you. Jesus will take care of it all because He's already handled it on the cross. And so these sailors, as best they know how, they get on their knees on this ship as the storm has calmed. They make a sacrifice unto the Lord and they say, God, when we get to land, we're going to start living differently because you are God and we're trusting in you. And that day, I believe those sailors got saved and the storm was calmed and there Jonah was sinking down in the water. And it tells us in verse 17 that a great fish was appointed by God and came and swallowed Jonah. And we're going to pick back up there next week. But here's what I want you to know this morning. I want you to know this, that today, if you are running from God, the only answer for you is to turn back to Him. Jonah hasn't turned back to Him yet. He's going to. And until you turn back to God, friend, you're going to stay in that storm. You're going to stay in that storm. And if you're here today and you know you need to trust in Jesus for the very first time, all you must do is repent, turning to Him. That's it. That's it. Just turn to Him. Let's stand to our feet. God, as we prepare to respond, Lord, if there's anyone running from You today, may they turn back right now. Repent of their sin. Lord, if there's anyone that needs to come to You for the first time, Lord, may they come and say, I'm surrendering to Jesus. God, have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing. I'm standing down front. Richard's going to be down front as well. Please come.